Welcome to the latest episode of Conversations About Women, Church, and Culture. In this episode, I talk with Joy Akins. Joy and her husband Eric have been longtime members of River. Now, Joy shares a bit of her story about growing up, about her work experiences, about just how she has seen God at work faithfully in her life through a variety of seasons and experiences. And she also talks to us about how God has been faithfully directing her as she has run for political office during the past year. Now, you'll want to wait till the end because we recorded this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and there have been some updates since then. So Joy and I just recorded an addendum, an update. So you'll want to listen into that and hear the latest on her campaign. Thanks for listening. So Joy, we'd love to hear a little bit more about just who you are, your family, and a little bit about your spiritual background, how you came to know the Lord.
So I'm married to Eric. He's an elder here at River, and we've been married over 30 years. We met when we lived in Colorado while I was going to graduate school. And he's a sixth generation Kansan, so we quickly figured out that we needed to come back to Kansas to raise our children, but it took a while for us to get here. We have a biological son, Aaron, that grew up here at River. He's just finished at the Air Force Academy last year, and now he's training to be a pilot in the Air Force, so we're very excited for him. And then we have a bonus son, Marquise, that many people at church know. He was a kid that we were mentoring with Youth Horizons, and he's become part of our family. And he's an only child. Aaron's an only child, so they call each other brothers from another color, and we love that. So they have this great relationship. So I grew up in the South in a home that was pretty abusive and difficult. I've shared before here at River that by the time I was 8, I already had bruises that I was hiding from people in my life. And when I was really young, we didn't go to church at all, but we moved to Mississippi when I was about 8, and we started going to this little church in Mississippi, and I saw a child get baptized, and I didn't understand what that was, so I started asking questions. And I think over that whole year before I saw the other child get baptized, I was just loving this church and the way they were pouring into children. They were much like what we do here. They had a children's church, which, you know, in the 70s was a new thing. They had a puppet ministry. They talked to us like we were people. They shared the love of Jesus. And so when I saw this child getting baptized and started asking questions about what it meant, I think my heart was ripe. But also, I was not an innocent little angel. I was this little kid that wanted attention because of the trauma in my life. And so I would steal these nickels and dimes from my parents so I could go to school and buy these little tie-dye pencil, which seems so dumb now in my 50s. But I did because I wanted to fit in. And then I would inevitably lose the pencil because even today I lose things all the time. And then my mom found this backpack full of these little pencils at the end of the school year and came in to my room and was confronting me about where the money came from and uncharacteristically left instead of punishing me. And as I lay on my bed crying, thinking about what I had done, I just sensed that I actually was a sinner and I needed forgiveness and I needed to repent and I needed to be a follower of Jesus. And so my mom came back in the room and she shared the words I could say in a prayer, and I did. And from that day forward, I'd made a decision to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think what was really cool about that, because we talk here about living decided, so one of the things for me that's cool to remember is that later when I was baptized in that church, they would sing songs right before the baptism. And so that Sunday night I was waiting to come in and they were singing I Have Decided. And that's been a song that's stuck with me my whole life. And so, you know, now that I'm in a church, it feels a little full circle as an adult. Mm-hmm. To see God has used that idea in my life just since I was 6, 7, 8 years old.
So a lot of times we have a a long spiritual history with the Lord. It sounds like you have a long spiritual history, and there are distinct moments in there. So do you have any stories that you want to share? Just thoughts about a story of God's faithfulness in good times or hard times?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stories it's hard to choose from. I was thinking about this as I looked at your questions. I think maybe what I'll talk about is what I've seen the Lord teaching me over my whole life is that the circumstances around me, I don't need to be defined by those circumstances or by what other people say about me. And I've seen that over my whole life. I mean, as a child in that situation that was very difficult, later as a teenager being molested, the circumstances were really bad. God shielded me from understanding how bad they were, I think, at the time to protect my heart. But then as an older, as a young woman in my 20s, he started to let me see that and again was reminding me that I wasn't defined by those circumstances. And so I was thinking about this as I was preparing today, that as a young, probably 9-10 year old, I memorized Romans 8:28. I didn't really understand it, which says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And so I happened at a camp. They had these little giveaways, if you could say the verse. So I memorized the verse real quick so I could get the giveaway, having no idea how God would use that verse. It's actually on my tombstone. When I get buried and you all go, whoever goes will see it. But then after I memorized that verse, a few years later, we were in a different church, and I still remember Kent Grice was our pastor. He talked about this verse all the time, and he didn't talk about it in a prosperity gospel kind of way. He talked about it in a way that lots of things in your life can be good and bad, and he would talk about, it's like making a cake. There's good things in that cake, like taste sugar, it's good. You taste flour, not so great. Vanilla, terrible. But when you mix it all together and bake it, you get this cake. And in fact, that stuck with me so much that when Aaron was in elementary school, I used to do that with him. Whenever we would bake, I would let him taste the different things and remind him. Now, in my 50s, I look at that and think, well, it's not so much fun to get mixed up, and the heat of the baking is hard. And God talks about that. But at the end, which we're not at yet, none of us are at the end yet. When we get to the end, when God finishes all of his work on this earth and there's a new earth and a new heaven, then it will be good. And we can trust that. And so along the way, that's, I think, often given me hope to keep going and to keep pushing.
Thanks for sharing that. That cake analogy is very helpful.
Yeah.
It's very understandable. So is there something the Lord is currently teaching you in this season that you're comfortable sharing?
I think a few years ago, Robert Garner was talking about how he decided to leave what he was doing and become the president of Youth Horizons, and he talked about Psalm 23. And at that point, I started reading that psalm to understand it more instead of being afraid of it. It's nothing to be afraid of, but I think in Christian world, sometimes we are, because it has that piece about as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and so that scares us, so we think it's for our death, but it is for life. And so that whole psalm, at night sometimes when I'm trying to sleep, or if the stress of the day is on me, I'll just start reading that over and over again, or saying it over and over again. And I always get stuck at just the first verse, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing, or I shall not want, whichever version you're looking at, that he's gonna supply whatever you need. So if you don't have it and you think you need it, you must not need it. And I think in the season of life I'm in right now, I see a lot of things that I wish were different, or circumstances that were better, or some places where things are better than they should be, and they go, well, he knew I needed that, I didn't, and I think I need this, and he's like, you don't need that, you just needed this over here. And so learning to be faithful in those moments and trust, and really trust that he knows what I need and he'll provide it.
You're very good at hunting the good. That's one of the things that we say around River is hunt the good. And you're very good at that. I've noticed that before. So speaking of your current season in life, one of the things we didn't mention, talk about yet, is that you are actually running for governor.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear, you know, how did the Lord lead you to run for governor?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's that exciting of a story. I think, you know, I was on the Wichita School Board, and then at the end of that time of being there, I really felt like the Lord called me to be investing in our son and investing in my business. And so I stepped away from that, and I thought, well, I'm probably done with politics. So, but just to be fair, I mean, my whole life I've followed politics from what I remember, even at 8 years old when Jimmy Carter was in office, following the hostage situation. I remember Reagan. I remember listening to Reagan's speeches. Whenever there would be an event where there'd be a governor on C-SPAN, I would listen to that. I was very interested in how government impacts our life and how you can have a good government for people. And so, but I thought when I got off the board, well, that's probably it for me in politics. And then I was the chair of the board for the Wichita Chamber, which was a fabulous experience, and working on some things that I was really passionate about. And as I was working through those things, I just had random people coming up to me and saying, have you thought about getting back into politics? And, you know, I'd say, oh, you know, I'm running my business. I love this. I love what we're doing. But they would continue to ask. So I finally just said to Eric, look, if that many people are asking me to think about it, maybe we should actually have a conversation and pray about it. And so I waited until the end of 2023, because I wanted to serve well and finish what I'd done. And then in 24, we just started praying about it and then seeking and having more real conversation. And then we just made the decision to move forward. And I've been in it for almost a year now. So it's been it's actually been a really wonderful process.
Any stories that you can share about how you've seen God's faithfulness so far on this journey?
It is hard to look back now because there's not enough distance.
Yeah.
But I will just say, I think a lot about what God was doing when I lived in Denver, when Aaron was born and my brother was around, which was 23 years ago. And I remember doing this study that Beth Moore had called Believing God. And one of the things was, I am who God says I am. And I remember of the five things that she had us memorize, that was the one that always struck me. I am who God says I am. And this campaign has been, a lot of people say a lot of things about everyone, and there's a lot of ugliness out there. And just staying centered on, that's not who I am. That's who does God say I am? And then continuing to go back to that and focus on that. He doesn't say I'm perfect, but he says I'm loved, and he says he has a purpose for my life, and he says he has works that he's already created for me to do, and he says I'm adopted into a family. All of those things are true. And so going and leaning on those, and then the other thing I would say is he gave me a scripture, and I think it was when we were reading through the Bible together as a church, out of Proverbs it says, man makes plans in his heart, but the Lord establishes his steps. Yeah. And we've shared that widely in the campaign, because there's so many moments where people will say, well, you didn't get this, or, you know, that person didn't. And I'm like, well, that person doesn't establish my steps, or that circumstance doesn't establish my steps. That's the Lord's job. So instead of seeking favor with maybe the politicos out there, I'm just seeking God's favor. He's my audience. And at every step of the way, he's my audience. And if that's who I'm trying to please, then the outcome doesn't matter. I know what outcome I want to have mm-hmm. in this race. I would love to win and be governor of Kansas and help make sure that our state is a place where people thrive and work on our education system, work on things like DCF, and really help people that we're hurting in our current system. That's my goal and dream, but that may not be God's, or maybe it is. My job is to just get up today and be faithful and ask Him to establish my steps. So I'm going to make a plan for how to get there, but He has to establish it.
And I love that. I love that your goal is faithfulness, and being faithful is how you measure success.
Yeah. I mean, I think one time I said something to Terry about I'm running for governor, and he looked me, and anybody who's done this with Terry knows what I'm talking about. Deadpan looked me in the eye and he's like, you're not running to be governor. You're running to be faithful. And he's right. Yeah. I mean, that is the ultimate goal. And so I'm hopeful that that means I'm going to be governor, but I'm trusting Him with that. And at the end of the day, I want to be faithful at what I'm called to do, just like any mom or wife or business owner or member out there. That's our call, is faithful in the thing He gave us to do today, in the next right thing that we're supposed
to do. Absolutely. That's great. So thinking about church life, I know you have been involved in church for a long time, and I wanted to just ask you, how has God used some of the different things of church life in your life, like community, small groups, reading the Bible, spiritual disciplines? I've given you a lot to pick from. You don't have to hit them all. You can pick what you want.
Yeah, the Lord has been really good to me. When I went to seminary, and my first year of seminary, I actually started a few weeks before 9/11, of all things. But the first class we took was to write a timeline of your life. So I was in my 30s. Write a timeline of your life and talk about the scripture, the events, and the people that God had used in your life. And so to that date, I sat down and I wrote my timeline, and I had scriptures and I had events, and I had 80 people on my list.
80 people.
80 people. And I had almost every name. There were a few that it was just like the woman at this blah, 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 you know, like, but she, I couldn't remember her name because I'd been so young, but I still remembered her. And there's some great songs on the radio this year about when we were children in church and what that was like. Or there's one about, it starts out like sitting in a pew at the front of a church and the red words becoming alive to someone. There's another one about having a God story. There's one about church kids. I think a lot about we moved a lot. We went to a lot of different churches in the time I was growing up, but in every single one, there were multiple people of the church who saw something in me and invested in me and taught me either a love of music or how to sing the words for Jesus or how to memorize scripture, or that I actually had value in His eyes. And that was something I didn't think I was acceptable because of what was going on in my home life. And so I look back at the people God's put in my life, and I was 30. Now I'm in my 50s, 25 years later, and I look at that list and I think of all the new people that God's put in my life since then, when we lived in Colorado, when I went through a miscarriage, raising our son, the number of people that have fed into our life as parents and my business. And I just see God's faithfulness through His people over and over and over again. And think about, in the world, the church gets a lot of negative attention because we do fail, because we're people. Right. But when you look at the commonality that one person can have just going in and out of churches and in and out of different groups and seeing God's people invest over a lifetime, you start to see that there's something real and important that God does with His people. So I'm ever thankful for His scripture. Music has always been a piece of the way that I connect with Him through sound theological music, but it's the people. Sometimes I didn't even realize what they were doing until I looked back later and saw that investment.
It's good to remember. Mm-hmm. Scripture tells us many times to remember because we quickly forget, but.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the cool things for me living in Kansas and in Wichita and being at River is this is the longest, I mean, it's 18 years. This is the longest I've ever been in one place, one house, you know, with one church family, and to be able to see that over time, the change that makes has been a really wonderful thing. And to know that God could do that, whether I'm established in one place or if I'm moving around due to circumstances beyond my control, He will always be faithful and find me.
Yeah. So you've been involved in church for a long time, and I know you've done a variety of different things, invested in a lot of different ways. So what has ministry looked like for you in different seasons of life?
Yeah, I thought that was a great question when I saw it in the email you sent over, because I think in my early days as a young woman, I thought the thing I was doing was what I would always be doing in the church. And for some people, that's true. I mean, my husband knew he wanted to be an architect and he wanted to do certain things. And my best friend knew she wanted to be a children's minister, and God put that in their heart. And I've never been that person. My resume is kind of crazy out there, and it's the same in the church. I think what God taught me over a period of time was my job is to be faithful with what He gave me there, but my real job is to love Him and to make Him known. And so in some seasons of life, like when I was a young woman, it was all about being in the youth group and choir or the children's ministry and being part of those things and learning and growing memorizing scripture and trying things that were hard and out of my comfort zone in order to grow my faith. And then as a young woman, when I had time and we didn't have children, it was we worked with a lot of youth and we led ministry. And that's when I started seminary, was to understand theology better so I could be better at working with students. But I thought, well, I'll be doing that forever. And then we moved to Wichita. And here I am in a new town, and there's no opening at any church for a person with the youth background or had been on staff working for children with the children's ministry. And I just felt, at that moment, I remember in 2008 when we moved here, I felt like, what am I supposed to do, God? I mean, You gave me this heart. I've been going to seminary. I'm going to finish in a couple years, and I have no ministry, and I don't know what to do. And then we came to River, and you know, we joined a small group, and I remember sitting down with our small group leaders and them saying, look, for the first year, we're not going to have you do anything. And I remember on my breathing in, I felt sick. That's what defined me. And on my breath out, I thought, this could actually be good. And so, I just had this sense that the Lord would use that time. And then during that period of time, Terry preached a sermon where he talked about sometimes God puts effective people on the shelf because He's trying to get their attention. And I felt like He was saying that to me in that moment. So I didn't know what all that meant. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought maybe I would lead or maybe I would teach, because everybody said we need math teachers. And then they said, well, you have to go back to school and get another degree. And I'm like, I've got two master's degrees. I'm not going back to school again. And then my father-in-law started talking to me about running a business. And so in that first year, you know, I felt like God was being silent and He wasn't opening doors, and I didn't know why. Looking back, God was trying to get my attention, that I needed to be focused on Him. He had a plan. I look back over that almost 20 years and I see the plan now, but I didn't see it then. And it was really scary for me not to know what He wanted me to do next. Then, you know, as Aaron grew up, I thought, oh, maybe we'll get involved with the children's ministry. But it seemed better that he did that and had investments from other people, not just his parents. And we've seen the fruit of that in our lives. So, but what I realized was that God was giving me opportunities outside the church to meet people where they were at and to speak truth into their lives. And that was my heart when I was in children's and youth ministry, was to do that. And it was just a different place, a different audience than I expected. So now, I mean, you know, on the governor's trail last week, I was asked to speak about unity, and I talked about 1 Corinthians 13 and you know, this idea of love and how love creates unity and how that's a biblical idea. And so God gives us work to do in the place we're at. And I thought it only looked like ministry, and God was telling me, no, it could be different. And also, by the way, when you have children, it's going to be different than when you, my children are gone and they don't really need me for anything. So I have a different amount of time now than I did then. But at the time, I couldn't see any of that. So, yeah.
And at River, you've been involved in small group leadership for a number of years.
Yeah, we have been. And that's been just a gift. I think when we lived in Colorado, we were working on planting a church that really, in a lot of elements, looked like River. And we kept thinking it could be like that, where people could be free to be out in the community. And then, you know, when we would have an event at the church, like Vacation Bible School or Kids Camp here, people would bring all their in-church friends, and they would get this opportunity to see their friends at church that they'd kind of known and realize we were just regular people. We weren't weird. Yeah. And in a place like Colorado, where it's post-Christian in many sense, there were generations of people that hadn't been in church. And we came to Wichita, that's different, but it's not that different. And the longer we've gone, the more generations we've had that haven't been in church. So looking back, I'm thankful that River didn't have, you know, an event 5 nights a week for us to be here. Because if he had, I wouldn't be doing what I was doing. If I'd been in the children's ministry, if I'd pushed my way in and tried to force it, probably wouldn't have worked. But if I'd tried, I wouldn't have been on the path that God had for me. And I wouldn't be really running for governor or running my business or a multitude of other things. Mm-hmm. So it's always better to let him define what he wants to do with the circumstances, although I always think I know better.
don't we? Most of us, if not all of us. So that's a great encouragement, Joy, just to be able to look back and see God's hand at work in your life and just hear, you know, our goal is to be faithful wherever God has placed us. So one of the things that I would ask you is you are good at reflecting and thinking back about what God has done. And so, you know, you've got a little bit of a timeline to be able to look back on. So are there any words of encouragement that you would want to share with the women at River? And I know that's kind of a big, broad question, but
there's so many things I would say, but I guess the number one thing I would say is, if your circumstances right now don't feel good, it doesn't mean they're not good. Mm-hmm. God is doing something. He's doing something. There was a time in my life where I tried to give up because I just thought I was in such despair dealing with the trauma of my past. I thought I just should give up. And then I thought I would take my own way out. So I think about that. I was 22 then. And I would have missed all of these years of watching God walk faithfully with me and teaching me and growing me. Mm. And so I would just say, if the circumstances seem horrific, there's a God there who loves you. He's next to you. He sees it. He's holding your tears. And he's walking through. And someday, at the end, whenever that is, it will all be good. Mm-hmm. Even though there might be messy things we're holding on to right now that we don't understand.
Thank you, Joy. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Would you like to pray for our women as we close?
I'd be happy to. God, there are so many beautiful women, girls, teenagers, college-age women, senior women in our church. I pray today that you would be a constant source of comfort to them. I pray that whatever hurdle they may be facing right now, you would walk with them, that you would make yourself known to them. I pray that whoever's having a sweet time right now, God, that you would help them remember this sweet time in the future when it's not so sweet. And whoever's having a difficult time, that you would help remind them of the sweet times they've had before. I pray that you would remind us of your promise, that you are always with us, even to the end of the earth, and that you would give us courage, God, to do the hard things around us every day, to follow you and to be faithful. Thank you for all these women and their investment in me and their prayers for each of us in this congregation. None of us women would make it without each other. So I thank you for building a good community here. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joy. All right, Joy, it's been a couple weeks since we recorded the podcast and a few things have changed. So do you want to update us on some of the changes?
Sure, I would love to give an update. So Monday was June 1st, and June 1st is the filing deadline in Kansas for political office. And we surprise announced to the whole state that I am going to be the lieutenant governor candidate in this race.
Awesome.
To the governor, the gubernatorial candidate, Philip Sarnicki. So that is something that I wasn't expecting when I started this. And I would just say, as we prayed through that together, Eric and I, it became crystal clear that the Lord was closing one path and opening another. So Philip's a fellow believer. We value a lot of the same things. We are both leaders. He's had a great career. He's from a different part of the state, so I never knew him before. But here's a fun fact. Philip's wife and I went to the same college in Mississippi, but we never met each other until this year. So anyway, so I think it's going to be great together to work. We've already started doing some things. He's been very gracious, and I'm honored to be on his team.
Well, great, Joy. I love how it's an illustration of what you said in the previous recording, that your goal is to be faithful. And so this is the next step in what it looks like to be faithful for you.
Yeah, I think that was the thing in prayer we just kept coming back to, is what's the faithful thing to do? Is it just to, is the Lord ending this so we do something else? Or is he calling us to a different role? And one of the things I was excited about in this new role is that should we win, should we manage to win, one of my roles will be, as the lieutenant governor, will be to work on education reform for Kansas, which is something I'm very, and for children and the next generation. And that's one of the things I'm very passionate why I got into this race. So I don't have to lose the thing I feel like God has put in my heart to do, but I get to do it with somebody else on a team. And so that's exciting.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing what God does.
We'll see. August 4th is coming fast, so it's going to be an interesting, lots of twists and turns.
Thank you, Joy.